back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason. Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. It is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row Lorenzo Whammy Ward, the new defensive coordinator at UTC. Whammy has been all over. He has been, he was a former Alabama player. We were just talking about some of the late 80s games that he played in and some of his teammates. And he's been a coach at UTC before where he worked with Rusty Wright. He's been South Carolina's defensive coordinator this past season when Bobby Petrino and Louisville parted ways. He was the interim coach at Louisville, but now he is back at UTC as a defensive coordinator. And Whammy, it is a pleasure to have you here. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
All right, it's an interesting time of year for a coach to land a job. How does that kind of come about, landing a defensive coordinator job in early June?
Well, again, I think it's the situation. Coach Wright and I, we talked in January, and I had to make sure this what I really wanted to do. And so he said that he would go through spring ball and handle the defense side of the ball. I came and volunteered some days with him, and so we went from there, and then it just worked out.
So you're obviously familiar with the roster then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very much so.
And how is it as far as with Rusty? I mean, once upon a time he was a player, and now he's now you got to call him boss. Or what does he want to be called?
Rusty. But we all know he's the boss. Coach Wright was a player when I was here in 94. He soon joined the staff after he finished playing ball and was a restricted learning coach, much like a GA, but we're a little different on the FCS level. And so got to work with Rusty for a few years, and then we just became really close and stayed in touch and was friends throughout his coach career and mine as well.
And he kind of followed in a similar path as you, right? I mean, because your last days at Alabama as a player, I mean, it wasn't long before you were coaching, right?
Yeah, very true. I was very fortunate for Coach Stallings back at that time, but finished up my career under him, and then went in and was trying to play for the Saints and made it to the last cut, and then he held me a GA spot to come back and to start my coaching career.
What was that like, those early days as a coach? I mean, I know there's not a ton of money at that point.
Well, it was great because all the guys that was at Alabama at that time were guys that was willing to help you in the profession. And I did it GA for a year, and I was like, man, I need to do something different than this. And so I made this statement to the coaches, and next thing I know, Mal Moore had called to Noonan, Georgia, mm-hmm. and Max Bass was head coach. And so I went and took a high school job for a year and was his DB coach and was head track coach there. And then something unfortunately happened that got me back into college football. And Ellis Johnson, they went through preseason physicals and they found out he had Hodgkin cancer. So Coach Stallin called and asked would I come back and coach the outside linebackers there. And so I did it, and that's when I got back into college football.
You were in Chattanooga in the mid-90s. You come back, and we were talking before you came, off the air. Is it a completely different city to you from the first time?
It's totally, totally changed. I remember three hotel chains here, the Clarion, the Choo Choo, and I think the Marriott, back 25 years ago. And so, and the Clarion is no longer here. It's the Doubletree now. But, yeah, the city has totally changed, and it's for the better. And, they really did a good job of cleaning up the south side of the city.
What do you think of Findlay?
Finley is great. I was here when we.
That's right, the last one, I guess.
Yeah, when they did Finley, and Finley is a nice stadium, and that's why they held the playoff championship here for several years.
Well, I am tickled to meet you. I think it's a great hire. I think you're a great addition. I'm just curious on if you're going to be a longtime assistant. How difficult is that? I mean, whether it's a year-to-year thing, because you're sometimes at the mercy of, do I want to be with this head coach? And if he's not going to be there, I mean, because how many stops have you had in your coaching career?
Well, I had quite a few. I started here, and then I went from here, stayed with Frank Beamer for 7 years, left Frank and went to the NFL and coached for Coach Shell at Oakland. We got fired there, and I left and Bob Petrino hired me at Arkansas. I was there for one season, left there and went to South Carolina for 7 years with Coach Spurrier. And then when Coach Spurrier retired, they brought in Coach Muschamp, and he had his own staff. And so then I went to Fresno, California for a season, and then we got fired there.
So. Right. See, because what you said right there, you said it twice, is what I'm curious about. You said we got fired there. Right. How much is that a testament to how much you believe in Rusty Wright?
Well, again, I just understand this profession. You know, it's all about, you know, the wins and losses
right.
for the most part. But I think the FCS level is a little different. I don't think they can just jump and fire head coaches like the Power Five can because the money. There's a money difference. And so I think it's a lot tougher to bring a guy in like Coach Wright. He has a five-year contract, and then we have a bad season next year and say, okay, we're firing him.
Right.
It makes it tough because financially that's a problem that I don't think FCS is ready to handle. But on Power Five, they don't care.
No, they do not care, and it's pushing the button, and all right, who's next? Who's next? What's your favorite part about coaching?
You know, I love working with the kids. You know, I like seeing young men develop. You know, most of these guys that play football, you know, they come from different backgrounds. You know, some single-parent home, majority of single-parent homes, and then, you know, see these kids grow and make some out of themselves, you know, get an education, because I tell the young men all the time, you know, you're not just going to play football for me. You're going to get your lesson. If you're not going to go to school and take care of your academics, you're not going to play for me. It's not going to be about winning and losses for me as far as you on the field to help me win. You're going to win in the classroom first, and then we'll the on-the-field part will take care of itself.
Other than talking to yahoos like me, what's your least favorite part about coaching?
Well, I guess my least favorite part now is I think that coaching has changed. I think Power 5 football has changed. I think Power 5 football is just like the NFL. It's not about the kids anymore. It's about the big salaries, and if the big salaries that they're paying you, and if you don't win, you're gone. So you can't build a relationship, and go in these parents' homes and you tell them that, you know, you're going to be there to help take care of their kids and make sure they do what they're supposed to do to get a degree from that university, but you don't control that.
Well, and David has talked about this because we've talked about it on the radio show multiple times, and you talked about your lengthy stay in Blacksburg, Virginia. Frank Beamer would not have had the career that he had if he had started in the last 10 years, because his first 6 or 7 years were very mercurial. And to that point, you make a great point. So I appreciate your honesty.
And along those lines, I guess, given Virginia Tech and South Carolina, you've been fortunate to have two fairly lengthy stints, because, I mean, it can be even more turbulent than that.
Yeah, I really believe in Power 5 football right now. You have to be at a very special program if you're going to stay for a long time. You know, there's, you know, a handful of programs out there that's going to be good year in, year out. You know, of course, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. Those programs, you can stay, and as long as you do what you're supposed to do as a coach and keep a job there. But if you're in other programs and you're not winning, you're not going to be there very long. Again, that's why I said Power 5 football is very, very like the NFL.
Now, if I was to say Jadeveon Clowney is the best player you've ever coached, would you say yes, or yes by a mile, or no, there's somebody else I got?
Well, I say yes. he's very special. And I've been around blessed to be around a lot of really good football players, whether I coached them on my side of the ball or, you know, Michael Vick at Virginia Tech, Lamar Jackson at Louisville. So, I mean, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, a lot of great, great football players, and I'm sure I didn't mention a lot more, but you know, Clown is—he has a special talent and his God-given ability, and you know, he's probably the best that I've seen that dominates his position.
I want to take you back to 2012 on an October night, because I was at Williams-Brice when Georgia came in there. Of course, that was a Georgia team that played Alabama in the title game that year and lost in the final seconds. But that night, I mean, from the get-go, South Carolina was unbelievable. A. Sanders, I guess, had that punt return that made it like 21-0 about right. 10 minutes in. I know coaches always say there's no such thing as the perfect game, but, I mean, that was a 35-7 route over a very good Georgia team with a lot of talented players we can name because they're now in the NFL. Was that as special and complete of a 60-game performance defensively that you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Georgia coming in with – they had the what they call Gershel, you know, with Marshall and Gurley. And, you know, for our guys to play the way they did, you know, they played lights out. It was a great ball game for us. in South Carolina. You know, I think Georgia scored with like 2 minutes to go in the game to make it 35-7, but it was probably the most complete game that I've coached on defense.
And when you think about how many times you've walked out on a football field, whether you're coaching on the sideline, in the booth, whatever the case may be, how many experiences you've developed since in the last three decades or whatever. I know last year could not have been a ton of fun once things kind of started spiraling. I'm curious, what have you learned over the years that has helped you from a demeanor standpoint? Because I just brought up a fantastic game that your defense played. But, you know, down the stretch last year, Louisville had a tough time stopping folks. And what was it like, and how do you handle that with the kids, and how do you handle your demeanor when things really kind of go from a 180 that you've experienced?
Well, what I try to do, I try to be myself all the time. And, you know, I know that you have to take the good with the bad. You know, and you know, last season was not a good one for us on defense at Louisville. We struggled stopping people. And so, but I've understood that in this profession, you know, the game is won and lost with players. And, you know, once things started to go bad and guys started not to believe, then it even got worse. So, you know, you just try to be even keeled and keep working as hard as you can work. And, you know, you want to treat the kids the same all the time. And so my mentality really didn't change a lot.
You're listening to Lorenzo Whammy Ward. We've got one more segment with the new defensive coordinator of the UTC Mocs. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.